All this multitude too shall learn that there is not my sword nor spear that the Lord saves, for the battle belongs to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have any of you ever heard that story before? You know about David and Goliath? Who won?
David
won. Was he the smaller guy or the bigger guy? Was he a younger guy or a big man? Young guy. You know, he's just as a... Josh, could you stand up for just a moment? I want you to see, this is taller than David was. David wasn't even as tall as Josh. Josh, what grade are you in? You're in ninth grade? What grade? Sixth grade. See, look at that. David was smaller than Joshua is as a sixth grader. And yet he was taking on a man who, you go ahead and sit down, who is comparatively, you know, Ernest Tapia, your grandfather, even bigger than him. That's a big guy, right? Bigger than Shaq O'Neal. Bigger than all the best athletes that we have here. That's how big Goliath was. And yet David came after him. Why was it that David came after him? Why was it that David, among all those who were there, David wasn't the biggest, the strongest. He couldn't even, the story goes on, at the part that we left out there, he couldn't even fit in the armor that was there. It was too heavy for him to put on, that a normal soldier would wear. So what does that tell you something about him? Why is it that David, among all those who were gathered there that day to go and contest with the Philistines, why was it that David showed up? Why was it that he said, I could do it? Say it again. Because they were scared. What were they focused on? They were focused on the size of this massive man. They were focusing on the huge sword that he himself was wielding. They were focused on all the big things that they could see right there that would intimidate you and me if we ran into that guy in a back alley. Well, what was David focused on? David instead was focused on how big, not Goliath was. He was focused on how big God is. God is way bigger than that Goliath was. And because David wasn't focused on Goliath, he was full of courage. That's why he could stand up to him who said, I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air. David said, this multitude here, they're going to learn that it's not my sword, not my spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he shall deliver you into my hands. He also says there that he's going to take his head. That's exactly what he did. Today we also celebrate something that's even more. There's a real David and Goliath battle that's going on here that for so long has held us cowering within our own nation. The greatest bugaboo, the greatest bear, the greatest opponent that we have here in the United States right now is the reality of abortion. Where it was so many years ago that our nation decided we were going to legalize the slaughter of little children, even while they're still in their mother's womb. 61 plus million to date, just in the United States, not to mention way more. This should hit each of us really strongly, because that's classmates that you and I should have that we don't have. Your class size here in Santa Rosa should be bigger, but because of the horrors of abortion, there are classmates that you'll never know. That's the reality of it. And something that strikes me each and every day, I spent the morning in Santa Fe, New Mexico today, marching on the Capitol to lobby the state government to respect life and not to try to destroy life like it attempted so strongly to do last year. Seeing all these young ones that are just like you, and I was thinking specifically of you all who are here. I said, man, what would our parish be like if these ones didn't have mothers and fathers who respected their lives? At times it can seem like we're going up against a Goliath, that is this abortion lobby that wants to keep that law in place that allows death to rule over our country. But guess what? That's what it looks like when you and I are focused on the law that's there and focused on the obstacles that the secular world tries to put up against it. But when you and I focus on how powerful God is and are unashamed to speak up about the truth, that's what makes us more like young David, who can say, you're nothing, because it's not about the big things that you have, but it's rather about how big my God is. That's the reason why I know I can be successful. So I'm going to give you, in a very short fashion, the high school students got this last weekend. I'm going to give it to you even way shorter than they did, and boil it down in just a couple of minutes, something that you can do to be able to prove to those who, even you, at your young age, as a sixth grader, you say, right, can be able to defend it better than even your teachers would be able to. I use this very same argument in the most secular university, probably in one of the most secular universities in the nation, and everybody was silent afterwards because of it. Here it is. Four words, four points, four letters. Maybe you remember it. I may have given it to you last year or the year before, but we're going to review again. S-L-E-D. Can you say that for me? S-L-E-D. What does that spell? Is anybody a good speller here? SLED, that's exactly right. It's SLED. That's the acronym I want you to get right there. Think of young Tristan when you think of SLED. S-L-E-D, SLED. So what's the first thing? An S word, size. And these are four ways in which the newborn child who's outside the womb, who's protected, his life is different from that preborn life. From any moment from its conception all the way up until 9 months minus a day, the day of the birth, and the day of the birth can be aborted here in New Mexico. So what's the difference? Size. There's a difference between size, right? A bigger, the child in the womb is small, right? Going from really, really small to really, really big to where you can hold it like that. Size is the one thing that's different between the two of them. But does that mean that because right over here, we have Aliana over there who's a little bit smaller than Josh. Josh can go over there and end her life just because he's bigger? No. Is Joshua, because he's a bigger guy, more of a human person than Melanie is because she's smaller? Would you say that they're about the same amount of human, right? That's exactly right. So size is nothing. Just because something's small doesn't mean you can take its life. That's one way in which they're different. That's size, S. That would mean basically that men could go ahead and kill women because generally men are bigger than women, right? Bigger, taller, right? We would definitely say that's not. What about size? What about L? This would be level of development, right? You can talk about that newborn baby who's laying out there totally way more developed than that little child that's there in the womb. It's still developing right there. It's still super precious in that time. Well, what does that mean about? Think about that on another outside level. Just because somebody is less developed than somebody else, should we be able to take their life? What about a person who has not yet had their brain formed properly, like a Down syndrome kid? His brain isn't fully functioning in the way right there. Can we just kill that kid out there because he's laying around? Because he's not as developed? What about somebody who's growing? What about you as young people, as kids? Just because you're not as developed as Deacon Marvin is, does that mean Deacon Marvin could go over there and end your lives just because you're not yet as fully much of a man as he is? You know what's something about men? Is that sternum bone right there in your body? It doesn't develop until you get to, like, you're in your 30s, to where it's fully hardened like that. Well, that's an area in which you're different from another one. The level of development has nothing to do with a person. You would say that that person who has Down syndrome is totally a good kid, is totally a human person. It's made it outside the womb. Well, then why won't we talk about it in the same way? So level of development, you can't kill something just because it has a different level of development. What about E, S-L-E, environment? Where is it that the newborn baby lives? Lives outside the womb, right? What about the preborn baby? Where does it live? In its mother's womb. How long is the birth canal? 6 inches. A small distance, right? 6 inches. Why does 6 inches make a difference? Do you become less of a person if you go down to Mexico? Are Mexicans less human beings than here in the United States? You better say no. Is somebody who's down there in living on some Amazon forest area that's located in there in this indigenous tribe, just because they live there, are they less human persons than maybe somebody who lives in Germany or Canada? No. So environment has nothing to do with it, right? No matter where a person lives, a person who lives in the inner city, who's kind of in the projects, are they less human, less valuable life than a person who's living in some New York high rise who's got a pretty good life? Absolutely not. So why does somebody's environment make any something different as to where you can kill a person or whether they're somebody who's valuable and can't be killed? 6 inches. What's that? Only 6 inches is all it has to travel. Size, level of development, and environment. And here's the only other way in which that child is different inside the womb as outside the womb. Degree of dependency. Degree of dependency. Dependency is a difficult thing. To have somebody who's dependent upon another person, that's why they say you can kill it. Look, that child is dependent upon its mother, so the mother can decide to kill it, right? That's what they say. Well, what about this? Deacon Marvin is a pretty dependent guy. You know what he's dependent on? What are you dependent on for life? Got to take it every few hours. Insulin. On his insulin. He's diabetic, right? So are diabetic people, because they're dependent upon that insulin, can we just kill them? That way we don't have to deal with the insulin? What about a person who's hooked up to a respirator like Josh was? Not you, Josh. Josh Flores was hooked up to a respirator during that time when he had that brain injury so that he could keep on going. Was his life not worth it? Could we have ended it then? No, his life was good. Just because somebody is dependent upon something else, each one of you are dependent on your parents for your lives right there. So does that mean you're not a valuable person or a lesser person just because mom and dad has to take care of you? Dependence has nothing to do with the value of a human person. A human person is either valuable or they're not. And if they are a human person, then we have to say that they're a valuable life. You can't just end it at any one moment. Those are the only four ways in which the preborn child is different from the postborn child. If you remember it, what's the acronym? I didn't hear it. What was it? Sled. That's right. See? Even you got it right there. Sled. S-L-E-D. What does S stand for? Size. What does L stand for? Level of development. What does E stand for? Environment. What does D stand for? Degree of dependency. Dependency. If you can remember those four points, then you can be able to have a really high explanation of the dignity and the value of the human person just on a very secular level. And to be able to defend life from its very conception until its natural death, because you are in truth a pro-life generation. Because you recognize yourself, the dignity of each and every human person, just because you recognize also that there are so many of your classmates who aren't in school because their parents, through tragic situations, ended their lives because they thought that there was their only choice. Your job and my job is to speak up for those who can't speak up. And there's nobody, nobody in this world who has less of a voice than the unborn child. And that's why it's on you and me to do it. Today, this Mass is being offered for the intentions of those who make those decisions, and as well for those souls who've sadly gone the other direction and need to find real reconciliation with God, to find the dignity and value of every human life, and even those lives who have violated that dignity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.